We're here at the Brighton Fringe on a very quiet Monday morning, although you wouldn't think so. There's 50 events happening today at the Brighton Fringe, and I'm joined by Natalie Cutler, and her show is entitled Not Yet Suffragette. And one of the big movies last year was about suffragettes as well, so just wondering if you'd tell us first what the show's about.
Sure, well, it's feminist comedy. That in no way means that men aren't welcome to the show. I don't spend an hour sort of bashing men. It's very gender equality and female empowerment, and mostly about how far we've not come since the suffragette movement 100 years ago. It's light-hearted comedy. It's aimed to, you know, poke fun at the issues we still face today, a lot of them the same issues we had 100 years ago. And hopefully, you know, it's current and people will enjoy it.
So as you've looked into this show, what conclusions have you come to about why after 100 years we've made so little progress in so many areas of equality?
Well, I think women are still being asked the same questions and told the same things, whether it be, you know, oh, how come you don't want to get married? How come you don't want a baby? You know, or don't dress like that, or do dress like that, or don't wear makeup, or do your makeup. All these things, they're the same issues, you know, that we had, whether women can go out to work once they've had children. So I do start the show as kind of like a history lesson in a through the ages from the suffragette movement to current day. And then the current day stuff I talk about is a lot of my own experience of having to answer these questions that I get asked on babies and marriage. So, you know, it's comical. Hopefully an alternative perspective of seeing things from, you know, weddings, marriage, baby showers, childbirth. I'm not the typical sort of a female when it comes to those areas. So I've kind of tried to address the issues in a light-hearted way.
And do you think you've found any kind of solutions to how it might change in the next 100 years?
I hope someone finds solutions soon. I mean, my show is literally just to highlight, you know, where we've come so far. There's plenty of people in the world right now that are doing a fabulous job at trying to amend these solutions. We've got the Women's Equality Party, we've got 50-50 Parliament, of course we've still got the greats like Gloria Steinem, and now we have Emma Watson with He for She. I'm more of a like to make a little joke out of it and help people have an aha moment of being like, oh, okay, I didn't look at it like that before. And if that makes people think, and if that makes people want to step up and make change, then my show's done what it came here to do.
So do you think that comedy is kind of unique in that it can make people more receptive to, ironically, the very serious issues?
Oh, definitely. My show is very satire comedy. And there's a great quote that I love, which is, first make people laugh, then make them think. And I really hope that that's what my show is going to do. It's comedy, but in every way, everything I say is said in jest. And I hope that people sort of receive the subtext of what I'm actually saying. Yeah.
In that very unique moment in time when you decided to do this show, what was going on? If you describe when you thought, I'm going to do a show about this.
I'm really bad at making life decisions. Like, it was going through my head because, you know, I do want to be part of a gender equality movement, but I am a performer, I'm an actor, I'm a writer, and this is what I do. And I thought, you know, rather than go into the political side of things, I could do my bit from a performance side. And I thought, there's so many things that I want to say, but I also want to entertain. So if I can write a show that's highlighting issues that I would like to highlight, but also be entertaining for people and not just, you know, drag on and nag, then that's why I decided to do the show.
And then, so you decide to do a show. Do you then do loads of research, fill notebooks, and then turn it into a script? How did it all make its way to Brighton like this?
I did a lot of research, yeah, because I wanted to have new things in my show, as well as things that obviously everyone knows already, like the vote and women not being able to work and in the past and stuff. So all of that I knew, but I wanted new sections in my show that were going to highlight new issues. For example, I have one section that's all about El Salvador, and there are currently 17 women serving life in jail through miscarriage, because in El Salvador, abortion is illegal and they class a miscarriage as an abortion and as the woman's fault. So right now there are women in this day and age serving life in jail for miscarriages. And so it's new issues like that that I really had to research and make sure I got right in order to hopefully highlight the issue.
So the ground of suffrage, of being a suffragette, has changed, not just from the vote, but all these other issues that some people may not be aware of.
Completely. I mean, one of the lines I do have in my show is that just because we've got the vote, it doesn't mean to say we have a say. We got the vote, but we still don't have a say, and there's still a lot of issues that we're just not being heard on, people aren't aware of, and hopefully that's what Not Yet Suffragette is going to highlight.
And so when you've then got your material together, you know, you've got all this quite serious stuff, but you're going to turn it into comedy, how did you try your comedy out to check that it was going to work?
I did a lot of gigs. I had like five-minute pieces that I toured around and did little snippets of, and got a lot of feedback from, you know, people seeing the show and kind of saw that it is working. This is something that people are responding to. So if anything wasn't responded well to, then I kind of just put it on the side burner.
So in that journey now, what's most surprised you along the way?
Oh, gosh, that is a hard one. I think how I've actually done it is what surprised me. I mean, the first time I ever saw a one-woman show put together, it was when I was interning at the Actors Studio in New York, and it was Angelica Page. She did a one-woman show on her mother, Geraldine Page, who was obviously an Oscar winner. And when I was sort of, you know, helping her put that show together, I just saw how fantastic she was and what a rewarding experience it was for her. And at the time thought, oh my God, I could never do that. I could never do that myself. But she really inspired me to be like, yeah, I can put a show together. And when I first decided to, you know, start doing my one-woman show, all the excitement's there. And then the second you book the venue and that deadline is there, you're like, okay, now I definitely have to, you know, have this show finished. So I'm really surprised that I got to the finish line, if that makes sense. I'm just proud to be here. It's exciting.
How have men responded to it, and how do you respond to some of their reactions?
There are two types of men that respond to it. There's the men that, I guess, don't really get it because, you know, why would they? They're men and they don't have the issues that I do talk about. And then there are the other men that are just as much feminists. And I think it's definitely like a younger generation of men that do find it funny and do see where I'm coming from. It's a mixed reaction.
You must get a few heckles.
No, I haven't had any heckles yet, which is very lucky. So, fingers crossed, please don't heckle. Thank you.
Final question, perhaps the toughest one to the end. It may not be, but so you put your show on and you don't realise that a ghost has wandered in and found the one empty seat in the venue, which is at the back row, and she sits down and she watches your show, and it's the ghost of Emily Pankhurst. How do you think that the original suffragettes would enjoy or see your show?
I think she would love it. I would hate to put words in her mouth, God rest her soul. I do talk about her in my show, obviously from a wonderful perspective, not from a negative one. And, you know, if she were alive today, I would send her a personal invite because, I'd love her to be there, and I hope that she would like it. And I've done the next generation of suffragettes proud.
Well, we've got the vote. Speaking of women have got the vote, but now there's all these other issues. So do you think she'd be pleased at the state of things now, or just as disappointed?
I think, like any strong female, she'd still be striving for equality. I don't think it's about being disappointed, because I think she'd be proud of how far we have come since she started, you know, the suffragette and the vote movement. But I think, like any woman trying for gender equality, she'd just continue to be like, no, there's still more we need to do. That's great, we've got this far, but let's continue. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Natalie Cutler, thank you very much indeed.